Can we just bow our heads in prayer, please? Lord, we thank you that we've been able to come here today to look a little further into what you have to share with us, to find out a little more about your life, how you lived, how that was an example for us. Not only just an example, but how you wish to live in us like you lived. And today, as we look into this, we ask, Lord, that we can somehow allow you more and more into our lives. May that decision to put you first, to allow you completely to take command in everything that we do and think and say in each week that comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Besides Jesus coming to this world to die and then be resurrected, he came for another purpose. Let's turn to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Please, that's John chapter 10 and verse 10. And now for the second step, let's go to turn over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. That's Galatians 2. And verse 20, where it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So it's not talking about a physical crucifixion, getting up on the cross, because he's still living. But he's saying, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So because he's not crucifying him physically, because he says he's still living, he's crucifying those natural inclinations that we have that rise up to respond in ways that he hasn't taught about. Or he has taught about them in the context of changing that and doing the opposite. So saying the life that you now live will be a life in me completely. And I will enable you, as Paul said, who wrote that text. He says, God is my enablings when I'm not able to do it. He says, I will enable you to live a new life in Christ because you've put your life in my hands and you've said, no, I'm not going to allow that anymore. I'm going to choose you, God. I'm going to choose you right now. And you can bring a different behavior today in my life because I'm choosing you now at the beginning of today. And through that day, he's there because you made that choice for him. He will come in. You've given him access into your life. You made yourself available to him. So now, Jesus literally carried this out, we see finally in step 3, in Luke chapter 22, in verse 42 and 43 and 44, we find Jesus literally showing us how to do this when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane. So we can be in no doubt as to why and how he was able to not retaliate in the trial, how he was able to put the ear back on the soldier that one of his disciples cut off, when he responded in his human nature, when they came to take Jesus and brought the sword up and chopped his ear off. And Jesus says, no, don't do that. We see what Jesus is doing here before that came about in the garden, Gethsemane, that enabled Jesus not to retaliate like that when he came into the judgment and when he hall of Pilate and Herod, and when they made a mockery of him, and when they finally put him on the cross. So in Luke 22, when I get to it, even in my own Bible, I'm not very good at finding texts. I just know them in my head, but... Luke 22, 42, 43 and 44. And he was drawn, and he was away about a stone's throw, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, or take away what he knew, Jesus knew was coming. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will. And there appeared an angel from heaven and strengthened him. And then, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So we see here Jesus knowing what's coming and still knowing what's coming and feeling the fear and the weight of that, what he was going through. The human side of him was anticipating and knowing what was ahead of him and was cringing from that. It caused him to sweat. It was the pressure was so great. But he still said, not my will, but your will be done. He still chose to put God first in his life. In the final extremities of his life, he showed what we're to do. When we meet every type of crisis, or just simply everyday behaviour of people that we mix with or in our family, he showed us how to respond, how to prepare ourselves for it beforehand. He's preparing himself there before it happens, which is the key to prepare ourselves when we wake up in the morning. Prepare ourselves for the day by deciding to choose God instead of leaving it to the day to happen, how it's going to happen, and we react and do things or say things that we later regret. Because if we haven't allowed God to come into our life that day, he can't give us the abundant life. That's how it is. Yeah, he won't force himself, but he wants to give us that abundant life, because he said when we were read at the beginning, I've come to give you life more abundantly. This is what he wants to give us, a different life. The question is, have we ever got this serious, like Jesus was there when he made that decision, when he prayed, have we ever got that serious about making that decision? Even once in our life, have we ever got that serious? Let alone every day. Serious about completely handing over our life to God. About giving up all the things that we want to do in life. All the things that we want to have. And saying, Lord, I'm completely in your hands now. You take me, you direct me, you take me to the places you want me to go. You lead me to the people that you want me to represent you with. You do with me what you want to do. It's all in your hands now. Have we ever prayed that prayer? Have we ever got really serious about doing that? I believe if we do, that God, that's the start of great things happening between us and God. Because he comes together with us and he can use us and he can do things with us. Not just for us, but for other people. He can then reach other people in a way that he is guiding and leading, that he's speaking the words he wants to say through us. and not just our own impulsive way of responding to a situation when someone asks us something or does something. This is what living for Jesus is all about. Praying that prayer. And then when the angel came and strengthened him, Jesus said when he left, he said, I've left you, the Spirit will come. So saying, if you put your life in my hands, I will fill you with my Spirit. That was the whole reason that the Spirit followed him when Jesus went back to heaven. Jesus had done his part in giving us a chance to reconnect back to God. And then after that, he sent his Spirit so God could fill us every day. And that Spirit is available today like it was then. The only difference is 2,000 years, that's all. But nothing has changed. All he's waiting for is for us to submit our lives to him and ask to be filled with that Spirit. Amen. And when we do, that's when we'll really see what God can achieve, what God can do. If we want to reach people out there, this is how we do it. Because God knows where the people are that are interested in him. He knows the people who have come to that point that are ready to listen to us when God speaks through us. And we don't necessarily know, or most of the time don't know where they are. And they're often the unexpected ones that we don't expect. But Jesus can lead us to those. I don't like talking about things that I've done and experiences with God. And that was probably one reason why I was a little nervous today coming up, because I thought maybe I could share a couple of just one or two incidents to show when you pray a prayer like this that God does answer it and he does do things. I remember at 21, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I've been studying and praying, and I says, Lord, I just want you to I'm going to put everything aside for you. And from that day, it was like this. His Spirit just filled me with the boldness to speak with people. But I was bailing that straw that I was telling the story about with the kids. I didn't know how to talk to people back then. I was a pretty simple country boy who found it hard to talk with other people. And if you'd said that I'd be up here telling you about that now, I'd have just laughed at you. Because I really struggled to talk with people about things, let alone about God. But in my heart, I wanted to. And quite often it's the case where we realise what we're talking about, the necessity of it, but we just find ourselves not able or struggle to do it sometimes. But when we pray that prayer, God does something. His Spirit comes in. And I found I had this boldness to talk to people, and God would bring people to ask, you know, about God. And when you would say things, they would question and want to know more. And that happens a year later. I distinctly remember I was reading about how the Adventist Church started and how our early believers used to do this. And I thought, man, this is what we need to be doing. That's how they grew the church. This is what we need to be doing. Never mind looking over the fence at what other churches are doing, how they build these mega churches. We simply need to get on our knees and say, Lord, I'm here, use me. I'm putting everything into your hands. And Sunday afternoon, I did that. After reading the whole weekend, I don't think I went to church that day. I was caught up in this book, and which sometimes hasn't changed today. I'll get caught up in a book, and if I'm late coming sometimes. But you learn and understand things that you previously don't sometimes when you read, you know. And I love reading and finding out things, and a way of advancing and understanding what Jesus did, a way of advancing our use to God. The very next morning, I was driving trucks at the time, and the very next morning I went into work and started pulling pallets out of the coal room to load on my truck. And this was in far north Queensland at a wholesale place in Cairns. And I used to do country deliveries all around far north Queensland. And the young bloke who was in there, he was in charge of the coal room. He was about 23. And to look at him and to listen to him when he taught and how he was, you'd never thought that he would be interested in God. You really wouldn't. You know, he was out in the clubs and living this and doing that. And then all of a sudden, I find myself answering a question that he asked me. And he says, so how you go, man? What do you do for the weekend? I says, mate, I went to church. And he goes, church? Because he said, what did you do on Saturday? And I said, I went to church. And he sort of stopped and he goes, church on Saturday? I said, yeah, that's what the Bible talks about. It's the seventh day, is our day of rest. And that time is with God, and that's the day that we want to have more time with God, get together with other people who believe the same thing and go to church. He said, okay, tell me more. And we had a 20-minute conversation. This was not even 12 hours after I prayed that prayer. And that led to another conversation that led to him coming home every week for weeks, showing him videos. It was videos back then of Kenneth Cox about what we believe, what's in the Bible. Eventually he moved to Brisbane. I don't know what happened to him after that, but that was maybe 4 months later, and we'd started a group that was checking out the Bible by then. When we pray that prayer, God can do things. He doesn't do nothing. He does something. He's just waiting for us to put ourselves out there by faith, to ask him to fill us, that we can share in this abundant life. Because the abundant life is about reaching people. It's about, Paul talks about it, as being single-minded in our purpose for other people. When I went over to England, where I met Emma, the first thing that the church people said to me there was, no one wants to hear about God here. You know, they're so close-minded. And there was a lot of things that happened between that, what I've just told you, and that time, you know, from pulling people off the street on glue. 3 years later, he'd become, got his first job in his first car. Instead of me seeing him, he came to see me in Perth and said, I've finally done it, man. All manner of different things that happened where God was doing things. And he can do them with you. I'm no different than anyone else, just a regular person. But it's the regular person who puts himself in God's hand, who God can do the irregular things with. That's what he's asking us. And I said, I don't believe you. I simply don't believe you, when they said this to me. And they said, no. They're so close-minded. Anyway, I let them say what they said. Started work there, doing some work, and I was driving trucks, but then they found that the Australian truck licence wasn't valid at that time any longer in England because of new EU, European Union regulations. So after 3 months, they stuck me in the warehouse, and being a country boy, you can imagine how I felt about that. And I hated it, having to be inside. And there was a reshuffle as well, just to really put the icing on the cake. But when you put yourself in the Lord's hands, you've got to be prepared to do whatever he puts you in. Amen. Whether it's exciting and interesting, or whether it's so boring it drives you out of your mind. But the focus is what we focus on is what keeps us going. And it came down to where I was just simply cutting up boxes, empty boxes that the blokes who was getting orders together, this was at British Telecom, and I would cut the boxes open and flatten them and put them on a stack. And I would do that hour after hour after hour after hour. So you can see what a boring, low-life job that was. And in order to save enough money and to pay for the fare for two people, for me to come back home and bring Emma with me, I had to put in a lot of hours. So I would start at 6 in the morning and finish at 9 at night for most days. And it was a long day. But the Lord, in his mercy, he, to break up the boredom, would keep sending people along who wanted to know about him, despite what people had said, you know. And the just people who were there, everyday people again. You know, the first was a bloke who was about to commit suicide. I know it sounds pretty drastic, but that's what was happening in the lives of everyday people and still is today. Nothing has changed. In fact, for a lot of years, Australia had the highest suicide rating in the world. And I haven't checked lately, but it probably isn't far behind. If it's still not up there, it won't be far behind still. And this bloke was just didn't know what to do anymore. He'd come to the end of the road. And I can't remember how the conversation started now, but we were not talking about God and the Bible. And he came, and I went over to his place the next night. He says, come over to my place. We need to talk about this more. And every day at work, and by the end of the week, he came up to me and he says, God has done something and I'm not going to commit suicide. He says, there's something in what God is talking about. And it's all about what God can do for us, give us the abundant life. Not about we, not about I, but what God can do. And there was numerous people there to the point where I was struggling to keep up with Bibles and DVDs, videos. Dwight Nelson was running his program at the time, which right till now I believe was one of the Net98 was one of the best ways of reaching people. And people loved those videos. And they'll come back, where's the next one, man? You know, and it was endless. But it was the regular things. A bloke came along and says, you can't get the train down to work. I'll give you a ride, you know. It was a new bloke starting there. I don't know how he came across me. The very first night that we went home and he realised I was a Christian, he said, tell me more, man. And he was right into what was happening in the world and life and everything. And we rode together for probably 3 months. And he wanted to know everything you could think of about the Bible, you know. And then he was watching the videos and would come home as well. And I couldn't believe it, because it was like when people say the people aren't interested, God turns around and says, yes, they are. Here they are, here they are, here they are. And he just brings them to you, or he leads you to them. So I believe to put things in the right order, if we want to do things for God, I believe we do. And there's been talk about doing things in Bay Desert Church, an area. We need to first come and get on our knees and put ourselves completely in God's hands. Not just for them, but for us. And God will give us a new experience, an abundant life. And that which will comprise of having something to share with them when they ask us. Not just biblical knowledge, but an experience with him. So that the two combined will convince them, with the Holy Spirit convincing them, that this is the way forward. As he said to the woman at the well, I will give you water that you'll never be thirsty with. And that's the water that people are wanting. You know, they don't know it sometimes. You know, that bloke that, after the first prayer, that bloke that started talking to me about God. He didn't know that he wanted religion, wanted the water of life. But once he got a taste for it, he wanted more, you know. He just had to have more. This is the method that Jesus used. And surely there's no better method to use than the methods that Jesus used. Because the world's never been the same since, after he spends only 3 years in ministry. But as one author wrote, the years that he worked in the workshop as a carpenter were just as important and fruitful as the years when he was in ministry. Because it's how we conduct ourselves in what we do. You know, whether it was in his ministry that seemed dramatic in comparison to his early years in life, the next person that came along, when I was told that, come home and said, oh, people at home don't want to know, you know. And I found myself out picking veggies in the paddocks in Victoria. And I'd just come home from Cambodia and the Philippines, and we'd spent 2 years working there, working for God and doing humanitarian work and whatever help we could. And you know, in 2 years, I never spoke to one person about God, because it was time for the hands-on. Partly because of language. I later started learning a lot of Khmer in Cambodia. But when you're in a place where no one speaks your language that you speak, it can be hard to explain things in the Bible, but you can do it in other ways. So, and as someone said, the same author said, Jesus did more healing than preaching. It's not necessarily just speaking, you know. He gives us different ways of doing things in different times. But it was going to Cambodia and Asia and many parts of Asia now that got a particular bloke interested, though, in the paddocks of Victoria, because who was out there to tell them about Christ? Just picking veggies. Someone's got to go there and share God with them. And he got interested asked me about stuff, you know. And in turn, that led to him wanting to know about God then. And then his mate wanting to know. And before you knew it, the two crews behind the tractors, they were all wanting to know stuff. And for 2 years, it became the normal conversation to talk about God behind the tractors. Not the occasional word, but it was all part of a normal conversation, whether they was talking about what they did at the weekend or what was going on in their life. Then it came along to God, and it's like, hey, mate, what about this, you know? What are you doing this thing? Or, you know, what's all that about, you know? And one girl says, oh, my grandma died at the weekend, and the other girl next to her says, go and see Wayne, he knows what goes on, you know, after people die. You know, it becomes a normal everyday thing for everyday things that happen. And this was what Jesus' life was like. He lived with the everyday people of all walks of life. But his life that he lived and the way he operated, he was able to reach everyday people on everyday things, but with a difference. And that's what God is wanting to do for us. And that bloke originally who taught to me, his mate now is just came out of jail early this year after a bad mistake that he made. He'd done 11 years. And before he went into jail, he used to come home with me and we'd open the Bible, literally open the Bible and talk about it, and he would want to know things. And along with all the crew came along to the church in the hall, and we used to do stuff together. The whole crew would come there at night, and then we'd go out and pick veggies through the day, you know. And not every night, you know, one or two nights a week. But Dave would come around regularly. And now that he's come out of jail, he's in a different headspace, as he said the other day. He's matured in his thinking. For the first time in his life, he's appreciating his parents. He's spending time with them. And our plan, if God permitted it, was for him to eventually one day come up and come and work on the farm with me and in the trucks, to move him on to a more stable way of life. And before we went away for our anniversary, just recently, I prayed that God would look after David, because I wouldn't be able to talk to him on the phone for probably at least 2 weeks. And a lot of things can happen in 2 weeks in a criminal's life. And when I got home, his original position when I left was he had the anklet on, and he was going to have that on for several years. And he was very restricted in what he could do. He was out of jail, but in these, what they call, halfway houses. And he would have to write up what he would want to do for the next week in advance. But anyway, he could see that it worked for him. He'd give him structure. And he was taking on a lot of programs that they was offering and going to Alcoholics Anonymous and helping him deal with different drug issues and alcohol issues that he previously had that got him into trouble. And he was really making a go of it, and they could see he was making a go of it. And then an incident happened while I was away, and I rang him when I got back, and he says, "Mate, you wouldn't believe it." He says, "I got thrown back in jail for a week, and then they pulled me before the judge because there was a misunderstanding in what he was going to be doing. And he lost the plot, and he smashed his anklet, smashed his phone, but then he just locked himself, he didn't lock himself, he just put himself in his room and didn't harass anyone else or anything. He just sat there quietly. And when they came to get him, when the judge heard what had happened, she says, "You put him in maximum security jail because you stuffed up and didn't allow him to do something that you previously said he could." And it was all, he'd all done everything right. He's shown that he's moving on. He's doing everything he possibly can. And you threw him back in maximum security jail for that, and he didn't even come out and get stuck into you. He just simply sat in his room quietly. He says, "That anklet's coming off in 6 months. He says he can go home, live with his family, and have full freedom from 6 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night." Amen. And all of a sudden, his opportunities for moving on have suddenly, boom, because previously he was going to have the anklet on for years and restricted in his movements. And now what we're taught about how he's going to cope with that, you know, it was quite a formidable task to be set ahead, whereby he wouldn't go, you know, get peeved off with the situation and get wind up back in jail, because this is what often happens. And for God to answer the prayer in such an amazing way, it's like, wow, I never saw that coming at all. And this is what God can do. When we put things in his hands, when we pray, and we're willing to do things his way and take the time and leave the time frame up to him. You know, since I met him, it's 15 years ago nearly. He's not sat in this church, but his experiences are accumulating with God. Different things are happening, and his advancements from where he was to where he suddenly fell into to where he's coming out of. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's that we're there for them when God is calling us. And so now, yes, in 6 months he could be off his anklet, and he may or may not come up here. We'll see what God's plans are. But one thing is for sure, that God has ways of changing things that we don't see how it could be changed. So I think by now the point's been made that Jesus is wanting to give us the abundant life. And as I said to the children, God has things in mind that we have not even dreamed of. We just don't know what he can do, where he will take us. He'll give us a life that's... Look at Paul's life. You know, he was set on killing the Christians. And then what happened? It took him all over Europe, you know. In exploration terms, he went all over the place, you know, Did he know that would ever happen? Of course not. We don't know where God will take us. But there's one thing for sure. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he can still do the same today for you and for me. I'm sure of that. The question is, do we have that abundant life yet? What are people seeing when they look at us in our lives? What's the type of God that they're seeing? Are they seeing this abundant life that Jesus not only taught about but lived? And not only lived, but he's promising it us. That's the thoughts and the questions I want to leave with you today. Not only for you, but for me most of all. I need it more than anyone. We'll just finish with a prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you don't just promise the world and then deliver nothing, but you promise more than this world. You promise experiences and things in life that we can do. Sometimes they're hard, sometimes they're boring, sometimes they're exciting, sometimes they keep us at home or take us far from home. But in all of that, you do with us something that you want to do, and that's give us life more abundantly. And we just ask, Lord, that we can be prepared to put ourselves completely in your hands, that we can make that decision at some point, whether it's now or whether it's next week or whether it's tomorrow or next year. But at some point, we ask, Lord, that you can keep that uppermost in our minds each day as we approach each day, because we know how easy it is to get taken with the things of this world. And our only hope is in putting ourselves in your hands. And it's hard to do that sometimes with everything pushing and pulling around us. But we just ask, Lord, that you would, like that angel that came to strengthen you, that it would come to strengthen us in our desire and our determination to do that each day. We ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Wayne, for sharing with us. And now our closing hymn is hymn number 313, Just As I Am. Just As I Am, 313.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to understand and get a little more insight into how you lived. We thank you, Lord, thank you for what you did, Lord, for what you went through. We thank you, Lord, that you did what we couldn't do. And so we ask that you can continue to do what we couldn't do in our lives today, that you can give us those things that we haven't dreamed of, that we have never seen or heard yet, that we can do through you. Not for us, Lord, but for you, that you might have the glory in return for your sacrifice and the pain that you went through, that it might glorify you, that it might bring hope and encouragement to those around us who need it at this time, in this world where so many are hurting, so many are discouraged through no fault of their own or through directly due to decisions they've made. It doesn't matter, Lord, rightly or wrongly, they still need you. And we just ask, Lord, that you could make that difference in us, if we could just put ourselves in your hands, so that on occasions, and when you see fit, Lord, not when we see fit, but when you see fit to use us, that you could put us in the path of those who are searching for you, that they will find you most of all, even though they might not realize they need you, that they will then realize their need of you. We just thank you for everything, Lord, so much that you've given us and done for us. We just thank you that you constantly remind us with what we see around, what happens in our lives, that you are real, that we're dealing with real life here, Lord, and not just dealing with something written in an old book, but that book can come alive in our lives, in the lives of others. And that's what we pray for most of all now, in Jesus' name. Amen.